when I was 19 years old, I got shot 6 times in a drug deal, left for dead. Went to the hospital. The doctor said I wouldn't make it. The doctor walked away. A voice told me I wasn't going to die. There was something for me to do. The bleeding stopped, and that was my reality of faith. I realized that there was something bigger than me, and all the things I had done did not somehow trump the fact that there was some bigger picture.
Faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
Pastor Smith is a part of the fabric of who we are as 49ers.
Pastor Earl is a diamond in the rough. He's like a breath of fresh air. I mean, he comes in at the right moments every single time. He'll give you a quote or a Bible verse, ask you how you're doing, and truly means it. How are you doing? I mean, it's something as simple as that, and that can literally just take a load off your shoulders.
Pastor Earl really cares about the guys here on this team. He's always been there for us. He's the type of guy, if you ever have anything on your mind that might be bothering you, you can go to him and he'll listen and kind of give you advice.
He's just there. He's there to give them advice. He's there just to listen. He's there to laugh with them. He's there to share dinner with him. I mean, he invites a lot of them to his house, and he's just there to be whatever they need him to be. He doesn't force himself on them. He doesn't talk down to them, and he just lets them be who they are.
Meet 49ers team pastor Earl Smith. Now in his 20th season with the team, the man affectionately known as Pastor Earl has woven himself as an integral part of the fabric of not just the 49ers locker room, but the entire organization, earning the respect of all who cross his path.
I grew up in Stockton. Grew up as a gang member, drug dealer, in and out of trouble, in and out of correctional situations.
Affiliation with gangs and drugs at a young age isn't exactly the path of the Lord. But for Pastor Smith, it was exactly the path he was meant to be on because of an incident that would change his life forever. At 19 years old, Smith was nearly killed after being shot 6 times in a drug deal. He survived and came out of the hospital with just one thought on his mind.
My next step was to get healthy enough to try to find the guy who shot me, as I wanted to kill him.
Smith luckily would not get that chance at vengeance, as the perpetrator turned himself in. And so, with a literal fresh chance at life, Smith was left to do some soul searching.
I learned through that experience that when I thought people were respecting me, there was a fear associated with me, and fear drives people to do some really strange things. So it taught me the real understanding of the difference between fear and respect.
It also gave Smith a new calling. Just 1 year after his near fatal incident, Smith preached his first sermon. The chaplain asked Smith what the Lord had in store for him. Smith's answer? Well, hear it for yourself.
And I said, well, God told me I was going to be a chaplain in San Quentin prison.
San Quentin, California's oldest prison and the site of death row. Located just north of San Francisco in the shadow of the Richmond Bridge, it is a place where Smith himself had been on a path to end up, and not as a chaplain. With his newfound faith, however, Smith was able to enter prison life by choice, not requirement.
In 83, I was hired at San Quentin as a chaplain, the youngest person ever hired in the history of California to be a chaplain. Based on my background, based on the things I had done, it didn't seem reasonable, but once again, faith. There was people that had done a lot more, much more significant than I had in terms of ministry, in terms of focus and direction. Yet I believe that God was faithful to his word, that that's what I would do.
Smith served as Protestant chaplain at San Quentin for nearly 25 years before stepping away in 2006. Though it would seem that his troubled past would help him relate to inmates, that ended up far from the truth.
When I first went into San Quentin, I immediately realized that having an understanding of what the streets were meant nothing in the prison system. It just simply made me more aware that that environment was much different than what I'd grown up with. I did have guys that I knew in the prison that I'd grown up with. Some of them had been my previous crime partners. More than anything, it was understanding the pain that was associated with the prison. It was, they called it the Bastille by the Bay, and it was like a dungeon. It was like, it was a gloomy place.
He's led a different life, you know. The chaplain at San Quentin, growing up in Stockton, California, understanding the street life and what that is, and not being judgmental in kind of representing the spiritual side of who we all aspire to be.
He's seen a lot. He's seen a lot of death. He's seen a lot of lives wasted. He's seen a lot of lives resurrected, you know, by guys coming into prison and then finding, you know, that their way and him helping them to find their way. And once they got out, they were more productive person. You know, being on death row and counseling people, you know, I don't even know what that's like, you know, especially when you get to know these people and you've been around them for 10, 15 years and that day finally comes where they are giving them the last writs. It's gotta be, a really mind-stirring and soul-stirring situation.
When I went to work at San Quentin, I think there was like 92 guys on death row. By the time I left, there were 700. 13 executions. When the first execution, I was looking for some guy to tell me, this is what you do. And there wasn't a guide. There was nothing that could tell me, this is what you do in terms of how you minister. And I realized that my calling wasn't just to minister to the inmate that was condemned, but I also had to minister to the family members of the victim. I had to minister to that inmate's family members, but I also had to minister to the staff, because it was a tough task to ask people to strap a guy into a chair and someone pull a lever, and in the process of that lever being pulled, someone's life would end.
To call Smith's role difficult would be an understatement. It makes guiding a troubled young athlete look like a breeze by comparison, but it is not lost on the pastor that many of the players he now counsels were just a step or two away from crossing his path as an inmate instead.
The guys I was working with in a locker room were very similar to the guys I was working with in the prison system. They come from the same communities. The same counties that are feeder systems into the leagues are also the same counties that are feeder systems into the correctional system.
And so each year, Pastor Earl takes a group of 49er players to visit San Quentin. For many, the experience resonates for decades to come.
Earl and I were real good friends, and then one day, he asked us to visit San Quentin. He was looking for some players. So we went and took a tour.
And he looks up, and there's a picture of him, blown up, huge poster of him snapping to Joe. And Jesse says, wow, man, I don't even have a picture of me snapping to Joe.
Big poster. I love the picture. And I just made a comment saying, man, I would love to have that picture. Where did they get that picture from?
And the inmate climbs up on this wall, takes this poster down, rolls it up, and says, now you do. I just watched Jesse's face as he received that from that inmate.
It gave me the feeling of maybe we shouldn't just give up on these people. If there's a chance that some of them can come back and contribute in society, I think we should give it every effort that we have, because that was one of the experiences that got to me.
I tell people that there are people in prison and they were there for a reason. They were there because they had committed some horrible crimes, yet at the same time, I believe that a guy gets released and he doesn't go to ex-conville. He goes back to the communities he was arrested from. So I believe that my calling was to prepare guys to be acceptable in the community, but also make the community safer as a result of my connection with the guys. My job is to provide or do alpha guidance and religious services for all. A lot of teams don't allow for the flexibility and the openness of the chapel or the team pastor. In my particular case, I'm able to meet with the guys from the day they get here. When they're drafted, I meet them. Rookie symposium, which the NFL puts on, I'm one of the people that takes them there. So every rookie class that is drafted, I deal with them.
Earl Smith has been the 49ers team pastor for 20 years and served as Protestant chaplain at the San Quentin State Prison for nearly 25. He has guided the hearts and minds of young men in the Bay Area, athletes and inmates alike, for over three decades. But last year, some of those young men asked Pastor Smith to help guide them on a trip far away from San Francisco.
So we've been here for a couple days, and we've been to orphanage, we've been to a farm, we've been to schools.
I mean, you come here and we're so spoiled back home, and to come to something that's a lifestyle that's so simple, I mean, look at it, everyone's smiling, and it's amazing to see it firsthand and come over here and get an experience. And I mean, like I said, I'm just being grabbed every which way. It's just amazing. It's an amazing experience.
Being able to be around the kids and see their excitement on their face, and just make them happy and things like that, and play with the kids. And, I see what kind of stuff they go through. I see how they live, and I realize that they can use a lot of help, and I'll be more than fortunate to be able to help them.
For us to be able to be here and be around this, it's life-changing for myself and for my teammates and our wives that are here with us. If you just look around, you just see these kids and where they are and just so how happy they are. I mean, I can't even describe it.
The 49ers who made the trip spent 4 days in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, led by an organization called Convoy of Hope. What they intended to be a service trip for those in need on the island ended up instead as a life-changing experience.
More than anything else, what we did in Haiti was learn the importance of giving. When we got to Haiti, we found that not only were we giving, but the kids and the people we worked with were giving. Convoy of Hope was giving. They were touching so many lives, and what we consider poverty, they considered a way of life. For our guys, it totally touched their lives.
That trip to Haiti led to a budding relationship between the 49ers and Convoy of Hope. Just weeks ago, the two organizations hosted more than 1,000 people in a massive holiday event at Levi's Stadium.
Happy holiday!
You know, we're going to have a ton of people come through and just be able to give them just some hope this holiday season, and just be able to give back, again, using our platform. All it takes is just a small amount of time of ours. We can impact a lot of people in such a bigger way.
You can give people gifts. You can give them kids' toys. You can give them a bag of groceries, but can they go and get tickets? Can they meet the players? Can they get their hair done? Can they get dental checks? Can they do health and wellness? And all at the same time, have a great meal and have fun. These kids will be able to go back to school and tell their friends what they had an opportunity to do, and that's huge for me. This is what it's really about. These guys are so blessed, and the opportunity to share their blessing with someone else is awesome. best part of being with the 49ers is watching players that I see come in as rookies mature. I start to see them become men.
49ers pastor Earl Smith is a pillar for the organization, team pastor for both the Niners and the Golden State Warriors since the 1990s. Pastor Smith has guided many a young mind, including those who are now old souls.
A lot of giving guidance has to do with understanding where we all are, where at a particular time emotionally in our lives. And I'm speaking on, you know, personal knowledge here with Pastor Smith, and that he's guided me personally through some very difficult times in my life. And I know firsthand how comforting the conversation can be with him.
His world of experience is so vast and so wide. It's just amazing. And his care and his concern for these young men and just trying to help them to realize where they are, what opportunities they have, and then just help them to fulfill those dreams.
He is just that beacon of wisdom and that beacon of, you know, hope that he can just give it to anyone on the team. Very thankful for him and the work that he does for us and how he really busts his tail to make sure that everyone's in good spirits.
He has a lot of wisdom that he would like to share with everyone. He always takes the time out of his day to help you with whatever you need, and he's like that with everyone.
He doesn't talk down to them. He recognizes that they're young men. He recognizes that they're on a journey. Everybody's journey starts different, and there are different phases and different levels of their lives of maturity. He can communicate across whatever lines with any kind of people. He can go to the street. He can go to the boardroom.
But the one aspect that I appreciate the most is his ability to listen, say back to you what you've said, give you an understanding of perspective, and walk with you down a path.
I want to be a listener. I think the most important thing anyone in ministry can do is listen. Now, I used to work for the Boy Scouts before I went to work at the prison. Dealing with kids, I always wanted to get down where they were and listen to them. And I saw how important it made them feel and how liberated they felt, that they felt like I was listening to them. I learned the value of listening from dealing with kids.
Smith has listened to and guided countless players in his decades with the organization, and it would be no stretch to say that each has a place in his heart. Not to say that the pastor plays favorites, but some do stick out in his mind a little more.
Of the most recent players that left, I think Frank Gore is my favorite guy. If I could go buy a son, I'd buy Frank. I love that kid. Kena, Ronnie, Eric, Guy, they've all done ministry with me. Steve Wallace led the ministry to the prison every year. Kevin Green just got into the Hall of Fame. One year, only no one wanted to go. He and William Floyd were the only two guys that went, and they took the entire chapel, and Kevin preached and shared his heart and significant moments in my life. So those guys are special to me.
Pastor Smith views the game a little differently than you or I. He's a baseball fan, and a baseball fan only, admitting freely to not having much interest in football. But even if he doesn't care about the game itself, he cares deeply about the men playing it.
When I'm on the sidelines watching a game, I'm just sort of looking, because I don't know X's and O's. I know when a guy makes a play, and I get excited, but when I'm watching, I'm watching men grow up. I'm watching Charles Haley when he had 99 and a half sacks, and he gets another sack, and now it's 100. And I watched when they put it on the board. I watched the tears in his eyes as it was announced that he'd got his 100 and a half sack.
Great back drop by Chandler. Chandler in trouble. He'll take a sack. He is nailed, and look who did it.
Charles Haley.
The plays, the wins, the losses. Of course, everybody likes to be associated with a winner. But once again, what I watch is to see how guys are. You know, Terrell Owens, we played Green Bay one year, and he kept dropping the ball late in the drive. He used to like to dance after scoring a touchdown, and Steve almost falls down. He throws Terrell the ball, and this time there's no dancing, so we figured he dropped it again. And when he gets up, he has the ball. He comes over to me. He's crying. I said, man, you didn't dance. He says, it wasn't time to dance. I need to give God glory. He gave me one more chance.
Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone. Owens! 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 He caught it! He caught it! He caught it! 25-yard touchdown pass! Terrell Owens being bumped to the goal line. Hit as he caught the ball.
What sticks out in my mind was not the touchdown, but the fact that he knew who to give the credit to.
Hey, where's T.O.? 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 T.O.?
What is faith? Faith is the ability to believe beyond yourself. And when you have that ability to believe beyond yourself, then the realities of the world will not hold you hostage. Faith is believing that there is a system and a source. Faith says that I have a vehicle that I can go to, that I can trust and believe in, that is far superior to myself.